My message tonight is remember who you are. Yeah. You know, one of the reasons that people are not successful sometimes in life, in business, and in spiritual things is because they're not secure in who they are. They have not settled that with them within themselves yet. Now, some of y'all may wonder why this is like this. It's so that they can get a camera picture, because they can't move the camera over in this area. See, that's as far as they can go, so I have to go this way. I'll try to turn to you every once in a while, all right? If I remember. If I don't worry about it. For all of you that are watching, we got one camera going tonight, so that's the only angle you're going to get. I mean, normally there's three or four cameras going, but we're glad to have all of our e-church out there. We've got people that they join us every Wednesday night and every Sunday. I see them when I go out on the road. They come in and they tell me that. So turn to 1 Peter 2:10 in the New Living Translation. I'm really going to talk about identity and really about who we are in Christ, really. Actually, one of the greatest things that you can learn is who you are in Christ. Amen. 1 Peter 2:10, the New Living Translation. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. See, you may have been nobody, but now God identifies you as one of his own. You know. See, we need to stop looking around trying to find our identity and realize what our identity is with God. You know, some people are mixed up about their identity. But, you know, things change in the world. And if you're identifying with stuff in the world, it's going to change on you. But if you're identifying with who you are in Christ, it's not going to change. Now, a funny story. Two not too smart men planned to rob a home. Well, they weren't very smart to start with. They don't plan to rob a home. But listen to the story. They were concerned about maybe the people waking up that was in the house. So they decided that one of them would go in first. And if they woke up, he would just meow like a cat, and the owner would think that it was his cat. Well, he got in there, and yeah, sure enough, the owner woke up, and so he meowed, and the owner said, "Oh, it's just the cat," went back to sleep. The second burglar came in, you know, not too smart burglar came in, and he woke up again and heard a noise, but this time the not too smart burglar, he was trying to remember what he was supposed to do, and he had forgotten. Finally, he just said, "It's the cat." I'm sure that didn't go over very good. The problem was he was supposed to be identified as a cat, but he had lost who he was supposed to be identified. See, you've got to have your identity based on a solid foundation. You know, some people, you'll see them as you go around. They try to identify with some sports figure, some television or movie personality or singer or something, you know, and they won't try to dress like them and act like them, you know. Now, some of you are going to laugh at this, but you don't know how many people that would try to imitate Brother Hagin preaching. Now, he was famous for getting on the edge of the platform with half of his feet hanging off and put his hands like this and do this while he talked. Any of y'all ever saw him do that? A lot of you. You would have people that would do that while they were teaching, and they would try to emulate his sound, and they would try to dress like him, act like him. I told one guy one day, I said, "Well, the only guy that I know that can act like him and really do it is me." because I have his DNA. And they tell me as I'm out on the road preaching, and even some of the people here at the church say, you turn and say something, and I have to do a double take because I think it's Brother Hagin. I said, it is Brother Hagin. That's me. I'm Brother Hagin. And they say, you know what I mean. But, you know, have you ever noticed that some people identify with their problem? They call themselves by the name of their problem. Have you ever noticed that some people identify with their profession? And, you know, there are some people, if you take their profession away from them, they don't know what to do. They have no identity without that profession. Well, I'm a preacher, but I've got an identity outside of being a preacher. But there's some ministers. I've known them. See, I've been in this all my life. I grew up in the church. I mean, I was born, like y'all know, one Sunday and in church the next. And I have seen ministers that back in the day when I was a kid, and you pastored a church, especially a Pentecostal church, they voted every year on the pastor to see if he is still going to be there the next year. Any of y'all come from churches that like that? I know Roger knows because he's from the same denomination I come out of. And the pastor and his family didn't get to go to this meeting. And you over in the parsonage, and you don't know whether they're going to be knocking on the door and say, well, you got 90 days to get out of the parsonage because you're no longer the pastor. But I have known some of those guys, and I mean, I've been there, and Dad talked about it and talked with other ministers, and they didn't have a place to pastor anymore. And they said, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm not a pastor. I don't know who I am. What? See, we've got to learn to identify who we are in Christ. You know, in Mark 6, 1, New Living Translation, you see, you can't let anybody or anything define who you are. Here, it's Jesus. It says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all the wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, and they said, oh, he's just the carpenter's son. He's the son of Mary. Hey, we know his brothers, James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon, and his sisters. They live right here with us. They were deeply offended and they refused to believe him. You see, they said he's just the carpenter's son. He's just a carpenter. You know, they said that's just Mary's boy. We know his brothers and sisters. They live right here. You know what? I can go back to my hometown, although I preached all over the world in one place one time, 2 million people. I've preached many, many times to hundreds of thousands of people. And the Lord has blessed me, and I've been able to have a pretty good reputation in the ministerial field and in the ministry field. I go back home, go down to my hometown. Oh, that's just Hagin. You know, they say, hey, Hagin, what you been doing anyway? We heard you went into ministry. What have you been doing? That's the way people are. That's the way they did with Jesus. But you realize he didn't let that bother him because he knew who he was. Because if you go over into John and you go down through about, I don't know how many chapters you go down through there, and he says, I am, I am, I am, I am. Anybody ever read those? I am. He didn't have identity crisis. You go over in the Old Testament, and God told Moses, he said, when they start asking you who sent you, you tell them I am did. Come on now. See, we need to realize our spiritual identity and learn to live in it. That's where you're going to have great success. Now, the devil uses many things to try to define you and keep you defined and keep you in a corner. He uses your past against you, try to define you with your past. Well, he can't do that because once you've been born again, the past doesn't exist. But some people don't let that, they don't ever let that thought get through to them. The devil comes, you know, with your past, you ought just be glad that you're saved. Now, don't think that you can get any of those benefits from other Christians because of what you've done. See, they don't understand who they are in Christ. And the devil can. And, you know, some people are worried about what other people say about them. If I'm worried about what people said about me, I wouldn't even come out of the house. Go read what they're saying about me. I don't go read it. Somebody said, you ever read it? I said, no, half of it's not true anyway. The other half of it's a bunch of junk. They take something you say and twist it around just like they do on the president. They take something he says and twist it into something that he didn't really say. Some people say, oh, you're getting political. I don't like that. Well, that's your problem, not mine. When you're comfortable with who you are in the natural and you're comfortable with who you are in the spiritual, you don't have to take a back seat to nobody. You know, sometimes problems, devil try to use problems. He'll try to use all kinds of stuff to help to get you thinking about, oh, I don't know whether I can make it or not. You know, sometimes people will talk to you and they'll say, well, you know, you, what do you think you're going to be able to do? You grew up on the wrong side of town. Wait a minute, that doesn't exist anymore. I'm in Christ now. You know, so let me challenge you to establish your true identity. And that is, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Those two scriptures right there can get you going. You know, when you become born again, you become a new person. Never existed before. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you all know it. You all quote it all the time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I like to say a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm going to read this from several translations. NLT says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone and the new life has begun. The Wade translation said, so if anyone becomes united to Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. They have been replaced by a new condition. The Living Bible, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. J.B. Phillips version. For if a man is in Christ, that is a person, mankind, is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished, gone. Everything has become fresh and new. In about 3 or 4 weeks from now, this whole place is going to be fresh and new because it's going to have a new identity, new carpet, new stain on the wood, new. It's going to take on a different identity. And you got some people, see, that don't like new identity. Oh, you're going to take away that green carpet. Oh, there's not going to be no pink line. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to line up and pray just like we always did. Now, that actually has happened. People have said, oh, it'll never be the same again. Well, Rhema Church will still be Rhema Church. Don't care what kind of carpet it is. It's the people that make the church, not the carpet, not the pews, not the paint. Hello. Yeah, we're going to have a new identity. We're going to look really nice. And hey, Lynette's got some surprises for you left that she hadn't told you about. That you see, spiritually speaking, our identification in the realm of the spirit is in Christ. And then we bring that back over to the natural realm. Because of who I am in Christ, I can do all things through him, because he strengthens me. And it doesn't talk about spiritual things. That's talking about anything. You know, in the natural, you have to have proper identification. Get on an airplane. Do business at the bank. You know what? I go through this at the bank. I go through the same drive up all the time. They call me by name. Mr. Hagen, how you doing today? But if I'm putting something in the bank and I want cash back, before they give me cash back, I got to send them and show them my driver's license. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The person knows me. I come through there all the time. But yet they still want to see identification. See, that's what you need to get a hold of, who the Bible is the legal documentation of your identification in Christ, and it tells you who you are and what you are and what you can do. And you need to tell the devil every time he comes at you with something, you need to tell him, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Get out of here. My past, see, you try to bring the past. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm in a new family. You want to experience the benefits of being in Christ, then learn what they are. Right here. Study especially the Pauline epistles. Somebody said, well, what is that? Well, that's just the theological way when you're in Bible school. That's what they call it. They call all the writings of Paul the Pauline epistles. And you can go study Johannine literature. Anybody ever studied Johannine literature? That's just the book of, that's just John's writings. That's all it is. But they say it in a fancy way. You know, one time several colleges accept Rhema credits, and you get credits, quite a few at some of them. But one time one of the schools was checking, and they checked with the accrediting association, and my class that I used to teach called Practical Ministries. How many of you were in said, I see, I knew a lot of you because I could see you. They looked at my syllabus and they said, man, this is a great course. Just change the title to the Theology of Practical Ministry. And I didn't change nothing but the title, and then they gave 3 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours credit or something for that course. You see, we need to learn to identify everything in our lives. True identity is in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, your true identity is in Christ. You see, when you begin to realize who you really are in Christ, you'll be more stable. You'll become a stronger Christian. Your prayer life will be enhanced. And actually, you'll walk in a new level of authority. Until you understand who you are in Christ, that's part of the authority of the believer. You know, God calls us what he sees us. Not what we see ourselves, not what everybody else sees us. You know, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding from the army, and he goes and calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon started believing what God said and went out and became a mighty man of valor. Sometimes if some of you start believing what the Bible says, it'll change your life. God called Abraham, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of many, and he didn't have any. But Abraham believed what God said, and he became the father of many. See, we receive Christ as our Savior, identity changes. Instead of sinner, he calls us Christians. Instead of lost, he calls us found. Instead of unrighteous, he calls us righteous. Instead of sick, he calls us healed. Instead of poor, he calls us prosperous. Well, if God is calling you now, self, start calling. If God's calling you that, then start calling yourself that. Come on now. It's good teaching. I don't know whether y'all realize that. No, it's really good. Even if I am doing it, it's really good. See, we need to accept what the Bible says about us. You have no problem accepting your identity as an American citizen. And as an American citizen, you demand the rights that go with that, right? Well, we're citizens of heaven. We're part of the family of God. You know, you have no right, you know, I mean, I'm Kenneth Hagin. I'm part of the Hagin clan. I have no problem identifying with them. You get around some of my relatives, you find out some of them act about like I do. They don't believe they can be defeated. And they won't quit. Hello? I seen one of my grandsons, you try to get him to quit. He's trying to learn how to swing a golf club. Come on now. He swung that golf club till he wore blisters on his hands. He just wouldn't quit. That's sort of our DNA. Get a hold of God's DNA, because that's who you are. When you've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you change. You become a new person in Christ. Find out what this says about you, and then begin to believe it and act like it's so. How many of you have a car out there in the parking lot? What would you do if you go to your car and person there is taking all your stuff out and put it in a box, setting it on the side, said, "This is my car. You may think you own this car, but you don't. This is my car." You say, "Well, I paid for it. I thought it was ours. Come on, kids, let's walk home." No. You're going to identify yourself as the owner of that car with all kinds of documents. You're going to call the authorities. Why are you letting the devil run over you then when he comes in and starts telling you a bunch of junk? Start identifying yourself. Now, this ain't part of the sermon, but this actually is part of my teaching. I've been teaching In Him Realities, and some of y'all heard it in school, but it's just, I love this teaching subject, so it's in me, so it's just coming out tonight. Remember Paul over there? He's casting out some devils. Seven sons of Sceva went over, and they're trying to cast the devils out, you know? And the devil said, "Jesus, you know, they cast them out in the name of Jesus that Paul knows." And they said, "Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who are you?" Come on. See, you have an identity in heaven. And the devils know it. But as long as you let him, as you don't identify that fact, he'll take advantage of you. Paul, once again, taken into custody. They were going to whip him. And he identified and said, "I'm a Roman citizen." It changed everything. Go read it in there. It changed everything when he identified himself. That's what's going to happen with you. You find out who you are in Christ. The enemy starts coming in on top of you. You begin to identify who you are in Christ. He has to change his tactics. He has to change his attitude. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, the Bible says in Christ, we are a new person. The Bible says in Christ, we're the righteousness of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, God puts a stamp on us and says we are healed because we are children of God. See, He calls us accepted because we're in Christ. Everything, he calls us overcomers, more than conquerors in Christ. A fellow that's got my same name wrote a little book called In Him. It's got all those scriptures in it. It's out there in the bookstore. You ought to get it. If you don't have one, you ought to get it. You don't even have to hunt them in the Bible. The references, some of them are already printed, and then the references is there of the ones that's not printed. You know, we need to make part of our daily confession of who we are in Christ every day. I just handed out 30 to my class Tuesday. I handed out a sheet of paper. It had 30 different confessions on it. You say, I am, I am, I am. You don't need to do all 30 of them, but you need to do every day. You need to get up and confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me. And today I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That ought to be something that comes out of your mouth as soon as you hit the floor. That way you let the devil know before you ever get going in the morning, hey, I already know who I am, so you better get out of my way. I'm going to walk all over you. That's all, you know. Dad says in that book In Him on page 9, everything the Bible says is ours legally. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it is your believing it and your confessing it which makes it a reality to you. Did you know you could have a legal document to $1 million and if you didn't know it, you could die of malnutrition, starve to death? One of the English preachers long ago, one of his people was very, very sickly. He went to visit. She lived in a little old shanty hut. And he saw this document on the wall. And he said, what is this? Oh, and she had been a maid for one of the royalty for many years. And she said, before she passed away, she gave me this and said, don't lose this. It's a very important document. Well, he asked if he could take it. And she said, oh, yeah, but it means so much to me. Don't mess it up. And he took it to the authorities. And they said, we have been looking for this lady. There is a castle that belongs to her with full of servants, with all the food, everything she needs. She had a legal title to wealth, and she's living in poverty because she didn't know it. Many people are carrying this legal document around that tells them who they are in Christ, but they've never got in it enough to find out who they are. So therefore, they're living way below the level. I didn't say they weren't Christians. They're living way below the level that he wants you to live in him. Anybody getting anything about this? You know, we need every day to make confessions. And I think I've gone long enough. Everybody stand up. Let's make some confessions. Try to remember who we are in Christ. Remember, when you make confessions of who you are in Christ, it puts you in a position to receive all the possessions that belong to you. It puts you in a position to have the power of God move for you. Amen. It puts you in a position and it gives you the strength and the power to persevere in the face of every obstacle that comes your way. See, get up every morning and confess who you are. Let's confess this right. I'm crucified with Christ.
I'm crucified with Christ.
I'm a new person in Christ.
I'm a new person in Christ.
I am a child of God.
I'm
a member of God's family. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I've been chosen by him. I'm adopted into the family of God. I am justified by faith. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
Who God says I am.
I can do
what God says I can do.
I can have
what God says I can have.
Because I am in Christ.
All of the realities
of the Word of God
belong to me.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God.
Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight?
I know y'all have heard that talk before, but it doesn't hurt to go over it again.
Stirs you all up again. Every time I teach it, I get more stirred up. I'm going to go out and knock the fire out of the devil, because he's trying to destroy people. He's keeping them from getting everything that belongs to them, because he's keeping them from knowing who they are in Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Did we recognize first time guests tonight? If you're a first time guest with us tonight, these guys that are getting in with these blue shirts on, I think they're blue or some color anyway, and they're called the Connection Team. We want to. If you happen to be a first time guest, would you raise your hand like this and wave it? There's some right over there. There's some right there. Some. Hallelujah. Give a hand. Praise God. We're so glad you chose to be with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church?
Welcome.
Hey, just come and join us. We're having a great time serving God unlimited around here because of who we are in Christ. Amen.